Hi, I'm Zach Hunter, Sports Information Director for the BYU Men's Track and Field Team. I've had the privilege of working with many of the 9 current and former BYU Cougars headed to the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. These former BYU athletes headed to the Olympics have unique qualities and values that they have learned in their time in the BYU athletic system that can apply to anyone and help in everybody's own journey through life. Today we sit down with Kenneth Rooks. This is Cougar Gold.
I just felt prepared. I just felt like, okay, I've done everything that I can. I'm ready for any kind of race scenario, and I'm gonna run my heart out, and if I win, I win. If I don't, I don't.
The man who cannot be stopped. Kenneth Rooks is steadily becoming the biggest name in American steeplechase running. He competed for BYU, served a 2-year mission for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Uganda and Orem, Utah, before returning back to Provo to compete for the Cougars. In his time at BYU, Kenneth rose through the ranks, eventually winning the 2023 NCAA Outdoor Championship in the steeplechase. Weeks later, he took first at the USA Track and Field Outdoor Championships in a legendary come-from-behind win after falling down and getting back up. He then placed 10th at the World Athletic Championships in Budapest that August for Team USA. Kenneth returned for the 2023 cross-country season for BYU, where he became an All-American. He then signed a professional contract with Nike and placed first overall at the 2024 U.S. Olympic Trials to guarantee him a spot to Paris. Kenneth is an amazing individual and a friend of mine. He's very spiritually minded and sees the bigger picture outside of the sport. He's also a genius and earned the Elite 90 Award at the 2023 NCAA Cross Country Championships, which means he had the highest GPA of anyone there. I'm excited for everyone to see inside the mind of an Olympian and really what makes Kenneth great. Here's our conversation. I am so happy to be here with you, Kenneth, today to talk about, we're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about like how you got into running and your time here at BYU and your prep for the Olympics. So thanks for being here, man.
You're welcome. I'm really happy to be here with you. And it's been a roller coaster the last few weeks. It's been awesome.
Yeah, well, maybe let's just talk like where are you at right now? Obviously, this episode is going to come out when you're competing in Paris. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about we're about a month out, around a month. What's your training like right now? And I guess for the listeners at home, Kenneth is in the steeplechase in Paris in the Paris Olympic Games this year. But like, what is your training looking like right now, a month out from the Olympics? What's it like?
Yeah, so last week was ramping back up because the week after the trials was more of like a kind of recover kind of a week. And so the last week was ramping up. This week is going to be my biggest week before we hit the trials. My hardest training is going to be this week, and then I'll have another big week next week, but then we'll go start toning it back a little bit, and just for the 2 weeks leading into the Olympics. Whoops.
I bet it's still kind of weird to say I'm headed to the Olympics.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think that it's a little bit of a dream, and I was actually thinking about this earlier today because I've grown up watching the Olympics, and I love to watch the Olympics, mm-hmm. and I love the opening ceremonies. I like to watch all the events. It's gonna be cool, but it's also gonna feel like what's going on when I like walk into another event and I'm watching it in person versus being on television, and then I'm also a part of it too. So it just feels like a dream right now, and it's awesome, and it's gonna keep sinking in every single day. I think it's even going to keep sinking in even after I compete. So yeah. It's pretty fun.
Well, let me just ask you, like, what were those early Olympic memories when you were a kid? You're watching the Olympics. Do you have like an Olympic memory where you're like, oh, this was the first time that I saw the Olympics, or this was amazing?
Yeah. I mean, I remember watching the 2008 Olympics, And there was I thought the opening ceremonies was cool. I thought that China did a great job with their opening ceremony. I thought it was really awesome. And I remember seeing Usain Bolt run. And I just love watching sports as a kid. And so it was just really exciting. Cause then it was just there were so many sports you could watch. That's probably my earliest like memory of the Olympics. And then I also remember like in 2012, 2016, Evan Yeager, doing the steeplechase. And, I mean, I remember Matt Centrowitz winning the gold medal in the 1500. And I actually have like a signed, picture from him. Yeah. Cool. I got it, my senior year when I went to Nike Cross Regionals, he was there. And so, yeah. But those are some of my Olympic memories. But it is a little bit of a dream to actually be competing in the Olympic Games.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of like for me, when you were talking about turning on the TV and watching that, I think of watching it with my dad, where it's like 3 hours long, those opening ceremonies. Yeah. You're going to have to be standing a long time in that boat, Ken, when it's coming down the river. Like, yeah. that's a commitment in itself.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's found out today that it's going to be a 4 mile stretch. So we're going to be there for a while, but it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. Yeah, that's what I'm excited for the most at the moment, is getting there and then being part of the opening ceremonies. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also excited about the race, but right now I'm excited about that just because I think I learned a little bit more about that today. But I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I kind of want to dive into a little bit of the nitty-gritty of what is the Olympics like? What are you expecting? Well, let's take a step back real quick and just talk about how did you get into running? How did you get into steeplechase, which now BYU is like, people are saying steeplechase you.
Yeah.
How did you get into the steeplechase and what kind of led you to BYU?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I started running when I was in middle school. My dad ran track in high school and college, and so I looked up to him, and I kind of wanted to be like him. And he ran the steeplechase a few times in college when he ran for Umpqua Community College. So
what college? Umpqua Community College.
It's in Oregon.
Shout out to them.
Shout out to them. Shout out to Umpqua Community College. where my dad got his associate's degree and stuff. But I started out in middle school. I mean, just because I wanted to try out track. And I'd recognized that I would do good in like the mile and like the school 5Ks or whatever. And so that's when I started track. And that was kind of the beginning of my journey and everything. But I never did the steeplechase in high school. And I was mainly in high school cross country and then 800 in the mile. But I also played other sports like basketball. I played throughout high school. I played baseball up until I started track. I actually played baseball through middle school. I did a little bit while I started track. But my coach, Coach Eystone, he thought that I would be good at the steeplechase because of my background in the multiple events. And so he's like, I think you can be good in the steeplechase. I had a little bit of hurdle experience because I tried out hurdles for like a week and a half in high school. So I knew a little bit of that, but I just took to the hurdling really well. And then I kept getting better every single time I raced my freshman year, made it to nationals. And then
you made it to nationals your freshman year.
My freshman year.
That is remarkable. And you were going to blow past that, but that is, let's just take a moment. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. It was pretty remarkable. And, it was awesome, to like have that experience my freshman year. And although my last race, I qualified for the final, didn't have a great race in the final my freshman year, but, it just helped me be hungry for more and getting back from my mission. Cause I went on I was a missionary after my freshman year. I just kept getting better and now we're here.
Wow. And there's so many things inside that like you could spend an hour talking about. I did want to get your perspective and I know your story a little bit, Kenneth, but So you had a successful freshman season.
Yes.
But you always had plans to go serve a mission. Was a part of you saying, hey, I have to, for those that don't know, a mission, you take 2 years off to go share the gospel about Jesus Christ. But really, you can't compete. You can't train to get like 30 minutes to work out. What was that kind of transition like? Was it hard for you? Or was it just something that you always planned on?
Well, I think a mission is something that I always planned on. It's something that I always really wanted to do, although I didn't understand everything about it always. In my life, I really want to put God first in my life. And I felt like being a missionary was doing that and putting God first in my life and sacrificing essentially 2 years of my life to go serve Him and serve others and to testify of Jesus Christ and then to also grow and change in myself. And I guess that was my main focus, was putting God first and being focused on being a missionary. It was a hard transition to training a little bit, just because there's not as much time for training as a missionary. And I probably could have done better. I could have done better at staying in shape at times. I gained 25 pounds in my first 9 months. I was a missionary.
Hey, I on my mission, I gained 30 pounds, but I am not an Olympian, Kenneth, and you are. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I went to Uganda, and they have a lot of oily, starchy, high-carb foods, which are good. That's good, but I was, I gained a little bit, but I ended up losing it all by the time, after I got back, so.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting to know you, and you are so committed in what area of life you're in, at least from what I know of you, Kenneth. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure that like you were locked in to sharing the gospel. And then when you get back though, you're committed and locked in to getting in shape to get to that next level.
Yeah.
What was that transition like when you got back?
Yeah, well, the transition was a little interesting for me. I hurt myself like twice when I was a missionary. But the second time I hurt, the first time I like bruised my bursa, but I healed from that, was fine. That wasn't a problem. That happened like in the first half of my mission. But I pulled my hamstring like a few months before I finished. And so like the last, 2 to 3 months of my mission, I like literally did no running at all. Mm-hmm. Because for the first little bit, like I couldn't, because I pulled my hamstring pretty bad. I was with some other missionaries, we decided to race, and I was trying to beat a guy. We were sprinting and strained a little too much, but so I had to navigate like trying to heal my hamstring when I got back. And so like my first few runs, I would go out at like 7:30 or 7:45 pace, but that was like my max speed that my hamstring could take. And so I had to try and like get my hamstring healed and then get back into shape. It took a little bit for things to like come together, but by the time January rolled around, I was in pretty good shape. I ran 4:04 in the mile, and then I ran in February, I ran like a 1:49 split.
That turnaround?
In the 800.
How many months was it?
I got back in July.
Yeah.
I got
and
back in
you
July.
You ran a 4:04 mile in January. My gosh.
So I did get back into shape relatively quickly. even like though I had to deal with coming back from like an injury too. But yeah, and then I, yeah.
That's. So. I think it's amazing to just, and anyone that kind of has served a mission kind of knows that, you go through so many changes. And mm-hmm. so that's just impressive to see how your body was able to do that. But just the mental state as well, I'm sure, was different getting in post your mission. Mm-hmm. What was the competition like when you started to get into your sophomore, your junior, your senior season?
Yeah.
What kind of evolution did you take?
Yeah, so... Going into my sophomore season was the year I got back from my mission. And so after indoor season, I was back in the steeplechase. And it's interesting because I was on an upward trajectory that was steep. And so I ended up running 8:22 in the steeplechase at the end of the year, and got sixth at the NCAA championships my sophomore year. And that was within like a that was about a second off the school record at the time. And then I ran at the U.S. Championships for the first time that year, qualified for the final. Final didn't go as good, but I qualified for the final. That was in 2022, my sophomore year. And then, and then in 2023, it was just getting in shape for cross country. It was my first year in cross country, which was awesome. It was fun. And cross country is a little bit of a different beast than track. And it took me that season of competing, like traveling for the first time, I think, to kind of like get my legs underneath of me. Because in 2022 in the fall, was my first cross country season that I traveled for BYU. So that was technically my sophomore year. But I traveled, but I wasn't part of our top seven. And then, I was part of our top seven this last cross country season. I came back after the summer,
The USATF Outdoor Championships, yes, and the steeplechase. Yeah. And then you said, hey, why don't I go run cross country more times?
That's true. Yeah, maybe we could talk about that a little bit. I mean, yeah, so cross country 2022 led to indoor season where we actually broke the school record in the DMR.
That's right.
Which was really fun. Got to run the DMR at Indoor Nationals. And I ran the 1200 leg, ran a 252, which was awesome. And then, yeah, outdoor season, I knew because from the previous year, I'd gotten sixth and I'd run 822. I knew I had a shot because to maybe win because I was in much better shape that year, I felt like. And because I'd run 822 and it was hard to kind of get races in college that have that kind of competition, coach got me signed up for the Sound Running Meet last year, and it was interesting. It was hard to get me into that meet actually because we entered me in a little bit later than everyone else, and at first they weren't going to let me in because we'd missed the deadline. But
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, but Coach Eystone worked his magic, got me in, and
throw a name around like Coach Eystone, yeah, Ed Eystone, yeah, gets you places.
Yeah. So yeah, he got me in, and like the mindset going into that race was just like, okay, well let's go out here. There's a shot we could break the school record here, and with some like really good competition, and I ended up winning. And I broke the school record. I ran 8:17, and that was like, whoa! I just beat two Olympians in that race, and I just like broke the school record. It's like, wow, okay. At that point in time, it was like, okay, I might have a shot at making a world team this summer, but I also was like, okay, well, I also might have a shot at winning the NCAA championship, which at that time, Duncan Hamilton was probably the big favorite. I was another one of the favorites, but I hadn't raced Duncan that year until the NCAA championships, and he actually had gone out and run faster than me by himself later on, and so I knew that it was going to be tough to beat Duncan, but I felt prepared. I had confidence coming off of that Sound Running meet and going into nationals. I felt like I was prepared for any kind of a race because I knew that my workouts were looking good. I'd been getting in better shape. I felt confident in my kick. Felt like if we went out slow or fast, I could be able to handle whatever race scenario came up. And so I went in with that confidence to the NCAA championships. And it's interesting, like that race was like, in the final, when I ran in the final, that's like the calmest I've ever felt before a race.
Really? Just, even in like post races?
Yeah.
That you've done. Like that race was that just race, that you were calm.
I was just really calm. I just felt prepared. I just felt like, okay, I've done everything that I can. I'm ready for any kind of race scenario. And I'm gonna run my heart out, and if I win, I win. If I don't, I don't. But I just felt ready and prepared, and then went out in that race. We thought Duncan might try and go out a little slower and then start pushing the pace from four laps to go and to just do like a long push to the finish, which is what he did. And so well, I was ready for that, because we talked about that and I knew how to respond. And so, and I ended up winning, and it was nerve-wracking at the end of the race. I took the lead a little earlier than we planned, but I just felt like I had the momentum, and I just took the lead with 500 to go. And Duncan was on me until 200 meters to go, and then that's when he kind of broke, and then I ended up beating him by like 3 or 4 seconds or something like that. But yeah, that was an exciting race. I know I'm talking a lot about that right
now.
This is awesome. I'm just throwing that in there. The NCAA championship at BYU. It doesn't happen every day,
Kenneth.
yeah, and that was awesome to become an NCAA champion, and then going into the U.S. championships, I knew I had a spot at being top three, so that's the mindset we were going into that race. Like, okay, well, I was qualified for the final, got into the final, and then it was just I knew that I'd beaten a lot of the guys earlier in that sound running meet that who were also going to be at the U.S. championships, but I also knew that they were peaking for the USA's, and I was also peaking for USA's.
And
as
I guess
well,
for those that don't know, like, peaking is like your training lines up where you will run the best at this time of the year. Mm-hmm. So yours was earlier.
Yeah. So mine, my original, like, I was supposed to run the best at the NCAA championships, but I think Coach Istone, when I ran so well at sound, adjusted my training a little bit so that I could run my best at the US championships as well. Coach helped me be ready for that. But I knew that everyone else like was preparing to give their best for that day. And so I was ready for that. I was ready for them to give their best, for me to give my best. And
is that nerve wracking at all? I guess I think it's kind of interesting your situation, Kenneth, where you had two very successful, like abnormally successful than you had thought meets, and you had done really well. Did that pressure of, hey, everyone knows that I did insane, now I need to go do even better, did that get to you? Did it help or did it hurt?
I don't think it really got to me that much. I think, to be honest, there was still, even though I'd beaten a lot of the pro guys and I'd won the NCAA championships, there wasn't a lot of hype on me put on me by other people. Mm-hmm. And I didn't put a ton of hype on myself, other than I just recognized the incredible opportunity that I had to compete at the U.S. Championships and be in a position to possibly qualify for the World Championships, and to appreciate the moment and recognize it for what it was and give it my all. I think, well, Coach Istone, he shared a little bit of a story when he went to his first Olympic trials. He kind of made the moment a little bit bigger than it was, and he looked at all the people around him, and he would tell the story better than me, but he got caught up, I think, in being worried about all the people around him rather than enjoying the moment and running his race. And this is based off of my memory. Again, you probably need to talk to Coach Istone to verify all of that.
And we will.
But that's what I took out of it. And basically, I had been so focused last season, meeting with a sports psychologist and talking with coaches and stuff to be process-based. I wanted to win the NCAA championship, and I knew that making the Worlds was a possibility, but I wanted to focus on the process of racing well and focusing on what I want to do in the race and making good decisions and not worrying about what everyone else is doing. And I've learned by doing that can help me be in a mindset where I can I can reach my goals and even surpass them. And it doesn't put as much of a limit on me. If I start to worry too much about the hype, then I can even put a limit on myself. And so that's something I'm even going to be thinking about going into the Olympics this year. Like, there's going to be people out there who are going to say that I have a shot at getting a medal, probably. There people think that I'm going to be doing really good, but I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about more what do I want to do and focus on the process, and but recognizing that, you know, there's a lot of great opportunities for me to do some amazing things. So
I think let's just there's so much just like wisdom in that what you just said about, I think anyone, athlete or not, can take from that is saying, like you just said, I appreciate the moment, the opportunity that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just rings true to me of that we're all given different opportunities in whatever you're doing, work, school, anything, right?
Yeah.
But like you realize that and you say, hey, this is a gift and I am going to do my all, and I don't care what other people are doing outside of that.
Yeah.
Not in a way that's like putting them down or putting yourself up.
Yeah.
But it's a way of just saying, this is an awesome blessing and I'm going to put my all in it. And I think that's just something I've seen from you and a lot of the Olympians, is that they understand that.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of why you guys are so successful.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's talk about the race itself. The famous race, Kenneth.
Yes.
You fall down. Yes. Everybody knows this. You're like in every like church lesson.
Yeah, I know.
So, okay, I'll walk it through the race. So you get in, and I'm going to totally get the laps wrong, and I'm sure the track nerds will get me. But you fall down in the start of the race. Two laps in.
Yeah.
And so you fall down, you get back of the pack, and the steeplechase is like, oh, shoot, if you get in the back, well, until you did this, you're out. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But you're able to climb through, get back to that front pack, and then you went on to win the outdoor championships, Kenneth.
Yes.
And you are a legend in many households. But I guess take me through just the mindset of, okay, you just fell down. What are you thinking?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think what am I initially thinking?
Yeah.
Is like, I hope nobody steps on me.
Oh, yeah. I guess because they are all covered in spikes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like that, like, oh, like, that'd be really horrible if I get stepped on right now. But then I like rolled and I popped up and it was like, am I hurt? And then I was like, okay, no, nothing hurts. I'm okay. And so then it was the moment of decision, like, do I keep going? Do I step off the track? Like, what do I do?
Those were real thoughts that
you had.
Yeah,
those were real thoughts.
You said, I might as well just stop now.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that thought popped through my head for a moment. But I went back to, because I a few weeks prior to the race, I had a fall in practice. And so I fell actually on the same barrier, just on, but in practice, I just rolled, popped up, finished the rep. And then I was like, okay, I need to have some sort of a plan. Like, if this happens in a race, I've got to have some sort of a game plan, because, like, this could happen. You know, whether it's me messing up, like I messed up in practice, I clipped to the hurdle and fell down, or maybe someone else trips me or whatever. I just wanted to have some sort of a race plan. So I had a plan that I would just catch back up slowly. And rather than catching back up right away, so that's what that plan came into my mind. That plan, I think, was inspired a little bit by just experience, knowing that if I fall and sprint back up, that burns energy up really quickly and then tires me out. So, and the steeplechase is about being efficient, but also, like Henry Marsh used to run races from the back of the pack and then win or almost win. And so I knew that, like, okay, well, even if I'm in a bad position, like, that's not the end of the world. Like, I still can do something well. But So Henry Marsh's name popped into my head. My plan popped into my head. I made the decision, okay, let's just keep going. Got into a rhythm, and then I like locked into like the person in the back of the pack. And I was probably like 3 to 4 seconds back from the person who was in last, the next person ahead of me. And so I just gradually worked my way back up. And I had let go of all expectations of making the world team. Like I had let go of my expectations of being top three. At that point, it was like, okay, I'm going to give it the best I can give. Like I'm going to give it my all. However I finish, I'm going to finish. And
so it wasn't, I'm going to beat that guy.
No, it wasn't necessarily that. But I mean, yes.
It is.
I mean,
it's a race.
I want to. I'm competitive.
I get you.
I want to see how many guys I can catch. Like that's kind of what it was. Yeah. So like, yes, there's the competitiveness there, but I had let go of the expectation of being top three. Like I wasn't necessarily expecting to be top three at that point in time. And then when I connected with the pack, started racing again, I began to realize more and more as the race went on that, okay, I'm in better position than I think that I am. Like I might be able to still get top three. And then I didn't actually realize I was going to win the thing until like 100 meters to go.
Wow.
And like the last water jump, between the last water jump and the last hurdle, it was like that was kind of where I realized where I was going to win. So yeah, it was a whole like roller coaster in there, but I'm grateful for my coaches and this sports psychologist that I went to go see, and also just other preparation that I went through and the Lord watching over me, just helping me stay focused and present in that moment to make the decisions that I made to put myself in the position that I put myself to win. Wow. So
that's, I think we just got a little look into like why you're so successful is because that mindset, I think you didn't just develop that during the race. Like you had been building that for years. Mm-hmm. And I just know that's going to help you in your Olympics when it's coming up in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Don't want to keep you too long, but I do want to ask kind of a series of kind of like rapid fire kind of questions. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we'll jump into what is the most like exciting piece of Olympic merch or gear that you get for free, I assume.
With exciting stuff. I mean, I think the uniform is always pretty exciting. They're giving us bucket hats, which I like. I like
bucket hats.
I like the opening ceremonies and closing ceremony stuff.
Okay, so this is a controversial subject.
Yes.
Is that we have the Ralph Lauren. Yes. I like it.
I like it.
We both like talked before. We like it. It's great.
I think it's awesome.
But okay, it got the jeans though.
Mm-hmm.
And then the suit coat. But you're a fan.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I think it looks nice.
It is Kenneth Rooks approved.
Yes.
And that says something. Awesome. Okay. Okay, here's another one. Who is like one of the most underrated athletes, either BYU runner currently on the team or in the professional field, that you feel is underrated or just like an amazing kind of person you want to shout out?
Well, let's see. Underrated. I think Casey Klinger is underrated. Like he quietly sometimes does amazing. Like we don't talk about Casey Klinger enough, I don't think.
What makes him so?
Well, Casey's just like an awesome guy, and he also is an amazing runner. He got like, I don't know, last year, not this year, but the year prior, he got second in the 5K indoors. He got fourth in the 3K that weekend. That's an amazing double. He got third in the 10K outdoors. He got fifth at the trials this last few weeks ago. I think Casey, it's hard to say because Casey is like so well known and so respected, but I still think he is a little underrated. That's my opinion. And then of people. Well, James, I mean, James is also, I think
underrated. We do got a shout out.
Yeah,
James.
We got to give a shout out to James.
So James.
James is also underrated.
We're going to do a whole segment with James, but I guess for everyone, like, James Corrigan wasn't projected to be on the Olympic team, is now Kenneth's partner in the steeplechase, has a school record. Kenneth helped with that process.
Yeah.
What's it like to be with James headed to Paris?
You know, it's awesome. It's awesome to go to Paris with James. I mean, we're teammates, we're friends, and it's been awesome to see the journey he's gone through this year, to be where he's at and to see what he's done. I mean, at the beginning of the season, he was just like, he wanted to make it to nationals, and anyway, he was very, very like, I don't know how it's going to feel like running under 8:30. Like that was like a big, like, that was kind of like freaky a little bit. I don't know if freaky, but it was just kind of like, okay.
The man was like an 8:51 runner last year.
Yeah, exactly. And so like, that's why, but now he's run 8:13, and like what he did is incredible to think about. I mean, he peaked for the right time at the Olympic trials to run the best he could run. He ran a big personal best in the prelims. Then he comes back and recovers well and gets third in the final. And then 6 days later, he has to go run 8:13. Yeah, well, he has to go run faster than 8:15.
Not just like the best in his life, but like the best like in like anyone's lives that has run this while.
It's like I read some stat. It's like the fastest time run by a collegian since 1994 or something like that. So it's like, it's pretty crazy. Like, it's crazy to think about. It's it was cool to have Dan Mihalski be a part of it too, and he was the pacer for that. I was just cheering. I was going to help pace initially, but that didn't end up playing out that way. I'm glad it didn't end up playing out that way.
Your cheers are worth it.
It played out exactly as it needed to play out. It's awesome to be with James. He has a little bit of a level of what we would call naivete, or just like a little bit of being naive. Not like being naive in a bad way, but being naive in a good way, to where he can like push himself to like limits that like he wouldn't even think about.
He hasn't set those limitations on himself.
So if you told James he was going to run 8:13 at the beginning of the season, he probably would have been like, you're crazy, but he did it. And, now he's going to the Olympics. It's pretty amazing.
Well, I am just so happy for you and all the BYU athletes.
Yeah.
I just want to ask you one final question.
Yeah. Actually, hold on.
Oh,
before
go
you,
for
before
it.
You go
Let's
on,
do this.
Sorry. One shout out to Matt Wilkinson. He has been a little bit, I think, underrated this season. I don't know. I've had my eye on Matt ever since indoor season. I thought he was going to be one of the guys that was going to have a really good shot at making the team, and he made the team. So, quick shout out to Matt.
Shout out to Matt. That's awesome.
Yeah. He's put in a ton of work. It's awesome for him. It's exciting to see what he's done too. But anyway,
I think that's amazing. That just shows who you are, Kenneth. You're always just like, let's throw the praise on someone else. And I think that's just awesome.
Yeah.
I guess the last question I just had for you is just, what is, like, if you had to boil down to one principle that you learned here at BYU that has helped you be an Olympian, what would you say that is?
I think the importance of priorities. Like, I think one of the reasons why I am an Olympian is because I try and prioritize the things that matter most first, and that's something that I've learned from Coach Eystone. That's something I've learned here at BYU, just being surrounded by so many amazing people and amazing teammates as well. But just prioritizing the things that matter most, like prioritizing God, and prioritizing my wife, and prioritizing all of those things that matter most, and like, if I prioritize that, then it helps everything else fall into place. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I guess we could just keep it simple. Yeah, just like prioritizing those things that matter most first, and then, yeah, just following that pattern of making sure the things that matter most are first, then, yeah, everything else falls into place. So, yeah.
That's a great answer.
We could just say that.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Kenneth. This was like so fun just to dive into the mindset that you have. And I think a lot of people, they see parts of it, but I think it will really just kind of, hopefully there's things that people can apply to their own lives from this too. But I wish you all the best in Paris. I wish everybody, all the whole team, the best. And just thanks for being on, man.
You're welcome.
Wow, what an amazing person Kenneth is. It's fun to hop into the mind of one of the best distance runners there is and see how humble and patient the person Kenneth has become. All of the best luck to Kenneth in Paris. The first round of the men's steeplechase will feature both Kenneth and his teammate James. It is slated for Monday, August 5th, with coverage on the NBC family of networks. Cougar Gold is partnered with BYU Athletics and produced by Cleon Wall, Ethan Horn, and Jonas Guffey. Episodes are available on byuradio.org, the BYU Radio app, and wherever you can find podcasts.